Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama Lamed Dalad. We are in Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud. We're starting with the words Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Ma'arava. Somebody from Eretz Yisrael is now going to be teaching us, but before we learn, so let's review, which means also learning, but let's review. We are in one of the more basic sugyas here in Baba Kama, and that is the idea that short time is paying Chatzi Nezek Migufo. Focus today on the word Migufo, and that is that as opposed to when damage is done, and it doesn't involve a short time, it involves anything else, so how do I have to pay? I have to pay out of my pocket, okay? Which means that whatever assets I own or I have now is going to be encumbered and obligated to the person who I owe the money to. I cause damage, I have to pay. Good. But when it comes to short time, so there's a special, specific halacha, unique halacha that exists within short time, and that is that the payment is migufo, which means that my animal that did the damage now is also going to be serving as means of payment. It will be the method of payment. Very interesting halacha. First of all, we already pointed out earlier in the Masechta that the damage is not going to be exceeding the value of the animal. Whatever the animal is worth, that is the cap that is created in terms of payment. In other words, even if the damage is greater than the value of the animal, but the animal is serving as the cap, it will be the ceiling. But that's a point that we already went over earlier in the Masechta. What we're focusing on between yesterday's daf and today's daf is the following, and that is that you're paying migufo, which now means that as far as the nizak is concerned, the aggrieved, the one who was damaged, so he's now going to be able to collect the animal as payment. Now, what does that mean? So yesterday we were introduced to an extraordinarily basic machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Is it that the animal is securing the obligation, or is it now that the nizak is a part owner? And I say part owner, by the way, could be a full owner, depending obviously on the amount of damage that was done. So we have now two shitas that we were introduced to yesterday, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Yishmael, it's a shibud that's created. So now the nizak is going to be able to collect from the animal, but not as the owner of the animal, just simply the animal's representing security towards that obligation. That shitas Rabbi Yishmael. But Rabbi Akiva goes further. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's not securing the obligation. You own it. You mamish become the owner of the animal. The animal is now effectively yours. Okay? That's according to Shitas Rabbi Akiva. And what we're going to be doing over the course of today's daf, right? We're finishing up from yesterday. It's the majority of today's daf. So what we're going to be doing is effectively going over these shitas and like seeing it like really play out. Okay, so.
The animal dies, then what happens?
We're going over. In other words, the Gemara is going to speak out your question. Okay, good. So, Tani Rav Techlifa Bar Ma'arava Kamei De Rabbi Abal Machrei Machrei Kdish Ubuktash. Okay. So, now we're going to start off with nice and simple questions. And that is that let's say the Mazik Shor was sold. Let's say the Mazik Shor was Muktash. So, Machro Ein Machor. Hikdisho Muktash. So if you sell, the sale is not a sale. If you're makdish, the hektish now is valid. The Gemara says, I need clarification. Machraman. So ilema mazik machre machor mani Rabbi Kivahi. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. If we're saying that the sale is not a sale, so that is who? That she does Rabbi Kiva. Because according to Rabbi Kiva, of course he can't sell it. Why? Because it's mine. And again, I know I'm using him, me. In other words, I say mine. I'm talking about now the Nizak. In other words, it belongs to the Nizak. So of course, a Mazik can't sell because you can't sell my animal. So that's going like Rabbi Kiva, Damar Huklad Ashur. But Hikdish Muktish Hasan Rabbi Yishmael. But at the same time, however, it also says that if the Mazik is Maktish, it now belongs to Hektish. Wait 1 second, it belongs to Hektish. How could it belong to Hektish? So that Shitas Rabbi Yishmael, which means that it doesn't belong to the Mazik, it doesn't belong to the Nizak, it belongs to the Mazik. Damar Yusham Ashur Bevezdin. Okay, where the animal is only serving as security. So the Gemara says, Ella Nizak Machro in a Machor Mani Rabbi Shmuel. And he Tisha Muktashasan la Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to have to do now is we're going to have to split up the Braisa. Meaning this Braisa that was taught, all right, our opening statement for today. So we're going to have to break it up. So the Nizak who sells it, so Eino Machor. So meaning that's going like Rabbi Shmuel. And Higdishu Muktash, and if we're talking about the Nizak now who's Maktishit and now belongs to Hektesh, so Aslan Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, no matter who we are who we're starting with, we're going to have to break up the braisa. Because again, if the sale is valid, then the hekdesh should work. And if the sale is not valid, the hekdesh shouldn't work. And I don't care whether or not we're going from the perspective of the mazik or the perspective of the nizak. If you want the braisa to be authored by one tana, then obviously you have to be consistent in the braisa. And the braisa is inconsistent. So the Gemara says, "Lola mazik." Okay, so we're going to say like this. That as far as the braisa is concerned, we're talking now from the perspective of the mazik. Right now, the mazik, obviously, it's his animal. It's the one that did damage just a short time. And now, the braisa is divrei hakol. So, machreinu machar afilu l'Rebbe Shmuel. Damashab de l'linizak. Okay, so let's wrap our head around the braisa. The braisa is now, the sale is invalid sale. Why? In other words, I can even say that according to Rebbe Shmuel. Now, according to Rebbe Akiva, we know that already. Because according to Rebbe Akiva, who does the animal belong to? The nizak. Obviously, the mazik can't sell it. But the Gemara says, but I'll go a step further. Even according to Rebbe Shmuel, the mazik can't sell it. Because it is securing the obligation. If it's securing the obligation, the mazik has absolutely no right to sell it. Obviously. In other words, that is the lien now that allows the lien holder, in this case the nizak, to come and to collect. You can't sell something now that is encumbered to me.
Well, you would go to the buyer.
Whatever the case is,
in other words,
that's okay. So the Gemara is going to say that. So the Hamishab the little Nizak. So the sale is not going to be. In other words, he can't have the right to sell. He kedusha muktesh afilu Rabbi Akiva. Now, what about hekdesh? What if we're makdesh it? So the Gemara says that the mazik is going to be makdesh it, and it's muktesh, and it's going according to Rabbi Akiva. Mishum de Rabbi Abahu. So the Gemara says is that no, that's in line with Rabbi Abahu. Dam Rabbi Abahu gzeres shamayamru hekdesh yotze below pigeon. Meaning, if the mazik is makdesh it, according to Rabbi Akiva, is it now in the possession of hekdesh? The answer, of course, is no. Of course not. In other words, again, the mazik doesn't own it. In other words, it's a short time that did damage. According to Rabbi Akiva, ownership now is transferred over to the nizak. So the mazik now wants to be makdesh it. Does it belong to hekdesh? Of course not. I can't be makdesh something that doesn't belong to me. Oh, so then how do you understand the Braisa? The Braisa is introducing us to a Gzera de Rabbanan. Because consider the following, the perception. How are people going to view this? I was Makdish the animal, and then, whoop, the animal went right from Hektish into that person's Rishus. And became a non-Hektish item. Huh? And everyone's looking at that and everyone's confused. How does that work? Hektish could be Yotze L'chulim without Pijon. So now, we are here sitting and learning the daf, and we have a better understanding of what happened. Meaning we know that it's a short time that did damage. And according to Rabbi Akiva, its ownership now has been transferred from the mazik to the nizak. So the mazik now tries to be makdish, and he can't. Why? Because it doesn't belong to him. But good. In other words, we have clear understanding because we are learning the halacha right now. But from a perception standpoint, people don't know all that information. And therefore, all they're seeing is something just jumped from Hektish to Chulin, and I didn't see any pigeon. There was no transfer. So when the Braisa says that you have to, that if you're Makdish, it's Mukdash, it doesn't mean that it really belongs to Hektish. It just simply means that if you want to remove it from Hektish, you have to give money. As if you're going to be Poded, but really you're not being Poded. Why do you have to give this appearance that you're being poded? Because we don't want people to think that something can go from Hektish to Chulin.
So the mazik has to get the pigeon, right?
That's an excellent question. So the I would presume, first of all, the amount that you give is nominal. You don't have to give a lot. In other words, for this Gzera D'Rabbanan, you don't have to be poded at its full value. You just have to give something. With that stated, to your question of who has to give it, presumably the mazik, I would assume. Okay, and if he refuses, I mean, it is only a pruta, but that doesn't answer your question.
The one who is makdish.
Yeah. Again, that's what I would also suggest that to be the simple pshat. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, so now we're going to continue going over more braisas. So again, the setup for all this is that you first have to walk in with the knowledge and understanding that there is a very basic machlokas between the Tanaim in terms of a short time that does damage. So now the tashlum is coming migufo. But again, what does that mean? According to Rabbi Yishmael, it means that the animal now is serving as a shibut towards that obligation. Right? What was the language we used yesterday? It's an apotiki. Right? It's a... Now, generally speaking, apotikis don't land on metatalin, but the Gemara says, but that's not always true. Yesterday we talked about an apotiki landing on a nevekanani. We talked about an apotiki landing specifically on a shore that does damage. Okay? So in other words, it's an apotiki security that now is going to be that's going to secure the loan. Not the loan, the obligation. That's according to Rabbi Shmuel. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva says, is that the animal now transfer of ownership, full transfer of ownership. The nizak becomes the de facto owner of this animal. Ownership immediately transfers over to the nizak. Again, how much ownership depends on how much damage. It could be he can immediately become a 100% owner of that animal, again, depending on how much damage it is. Good. So Tana Rabbanan, so here we are now starting a new Braisa, another Braisa. Now, Rashi is going to be insistent that this Braisa is going according to Rabbi Yishmael. The Tosos agrees with that as well. So let's go like Rashi, let's go like Tosos. Not all Rishonim are in agreement, but this Braisa that we're about to start goes like Rabbi Yishmael. So again, the mindset is going into this Braisa, Yusham Ashur, which means that the animal is not owned by the Nizak, but it is securing his obligation. Okay. You will see why Rashi and Tosfos are insistent like that from the Gemara that we're going to be seeing in its discussion of this Braisa. It'll be pretty clear. Tana Rabbana Shor Tam Shehizik. So you have a short time doing damage. Ashalom and Bidin. So now, before we go to court, so in other words, we haven't yet settled. We haven't gone to court. We haven't settled on the amount. But before we do so, so if the mazik sells it, sales valid. If the mazik is makdish, the hektish is valid. Again, everything is going to be clarified. So right now, all these points that we're making, if they seem a little bit confusing, they are right now. Later, as we go and do what the Gemara always does and analyzes the Braisa, all these points to be clarified. Shachtov and nasno b'matana mashaso asui. If the mazik shechs the animal, if the mazik gifts it to somebody else, so what's done is done. Okay. Again, I'm recognizing that seems a little bit strange, because just because we haven't gone to court yet, now the mazik can basically do whatever he wants with it. That sounds strange. Hold that thought. Misha Amad Bidin. Now, if we go to court, and now we're in court, and the court obviously has settled in terms of what the amount is, and the fact is that you're obligated. So if you sell it, sale's not valid. If you're makdish it, hektish has no validity. If you shecht it or give it off as a gift, lo asav lo klum, you have done nothing. Okay, so. Kid mubalai chovos, we're not done with the Braisa yet, right? There's still more to the Braisa. And then we're going to go back and we're going to understand everything, or at least have a better understanding. Kid mubalai chovos vihigbio. So let's say now the mazik also has creditors, right? This mazik has got lots of headaches, okay? It's life. So in other words, in addition to the fact now that his animal did damage and now he owes to the nizak, he also has on top of that other creditors as well. Kid If other creditors come and take the animal that they're entitled to take, because again, they're owed money, and let's assume, as far as these creditors are concerned, maybe they also had an apotiki security on the animal. Okay, that part needs more clarification. Regardless, in other words, they come and they take. So the Braisa says, lo asav lo klum. The Balei Chovos are not entitled to take that animal, as that animal is secured and encumbered towards the Nizak. Now, again, not trying to confuse, but the Braisa is confusing, because the Braisa says it doesn't matter whether the creditors were existing before the damage or after the damage. And the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, that if those creditors were there before the damage occurred, so aren't they first in line? Please wait. The Gemara is going to ask that question. So, Lefisha Ein Mishtam Ela Megufo. Because the Braisa, I know it's the answer, but it's not a satisfying answer. Because the animal now is, the tashlum, the payment is going to be coming Megufo. Good.
The other ones can get it from somewhere else.
Okay, fine. Muach Yehizik. Now, we're still not yet done with the braisa. We got more to go. And now more shehizik ben shamad bedin ben shalamad bedin. So machra machra hikti shemukta shachtav nasam natanam ashasa asui. So when it comes to my shemur doing damage, so anything that you do works. So and it doesn't matter if it's before hamad bedin or after hamad bedin. If you sell it, sale. If you're makdish it, that works. If you shecht it or if you give it off as a gift, mashal soi, asui, what's done is done. So kidmu balechovas veigbu ben chava shelo hizik ben hizik ad shelo chav mashal asui. Creditors come and take the animal. Good for them. Let's say they are creditors second in line, not first in line. Good for the creditors. Why? In other words, obviously what we're hearing right now is that Ashur Amud is fundamentally different. Why is Ashur Amud fundamentally different? Lefisha mishtam elamin aliyah. Because as far as the Ashur Amud is concerned, how is payment by Ashur Amud working? First of all, it's uncapped. In other words, whatever the damage is, I pay. That's number one. And number two, equally important is that when it comes to Ashur Amud, so you are paying min ha'aliyah. The animal is not serving there as the backstop of the payment. The payment is not coming from the animal. Payment's coming from you. It happens to be that that's the animal that did the damage. Yeah, but that's not the source of payment. Source of payment is you, and therefore the animal now, you could sell the animal, bakdish the animal, other creditors can come and take the animal, v'chule, v'chule. Okay, so over here now in the braisa, so that was a long braisa, and what we were introduced to was a basic differentiation between short term versus short muad. By short term, so effectively, the short time is serving as the source of payment. And when it comes to Shramuad, it is not serving as the source of payment. Now, what the Braisa has not said is that, hey, am I subscribing to the school of Rabbi Yishmael or the school of Rabbi Akiva? So again, as I present this Braisa to you, we're going to learn like Rashi and like Tosfos, that the author of this Braisa is Rabbi Yishmael. And so now we have our work cut out for us, in that we're going to have to now wrap our head around the Braisa with the lens of Rabbi Yishmael.
So Tam is only the Gufo, and Muad is anywhere.
Let's do like the Gemara. Let's go step by step. We're gonna go through the Braisa again with better understanding. Amar Mar Machro Machor. So now the Gemara says, okay, so the sale is a valid sale. What? Again, this is the beginning of the Braisa. It's talking about a short Tam, and this is before Hamad Abedin, and if you sell it, the sale's valid. The Gemara is like, what is that? What do you mean the sale's valid? In other words, it's a short time that did damage, and even according to Rabbi Yishmael, right? What did Rabbi Yishmael say? That the shore is serving as security. It's an apotiki security against the obligation. So now, what do you mean the sale is valid? How does that work? So the Gemara says, L'Rijya, no. We said this yesterday, but now we get to say it again. Meaning, the sale is not really a valid sale. In other words, what the sale allows the mazik to do is just basically sell it for a temporary period of time. Okay, so you and I wouldn't call that a sale. In other words, but just simply recognizing the fact that he sold it to somebody for plowing, Rijya's plowing, but now when they go to court and when the court favors the Nizak to be able to collect, the Nizak is able to collect now from the animal. The animal is in someone else's possession. Okay, but he has a shibud on that animal. Okay, good. Higdisha Mokdash Mishum the Rabbi Abo. Now let's go over the next part of the Braisa. You're Maktish the animal. So now, Muktish Mishum de Rabbi Abo. So it belongs to Hektesh. Again, what do you mean it belongs to Hektesh? There is a shibud on that animal. So if there's the shibud of the animal now allows the Nizek to go and collect. So the Gemara says again, what we'll do is we'll plug in Rabbi Abo. Rabbi Abo that we learned all of 10 minutes ago. Rabbi Abo says that really Be'etzim it doesn't belong to Hektesh. But again, what's the perception? Everyone's going to see something going from Rishus Hektish to Rishus Chulin, and there was no pigeon? So in other words, when the Braisa says that it belongs to Hektish, so what the Braisa really means is that it doesn't belong to Hektish, it's just that you have to pay in order so that people will understand and will not get confused that something is leaving Hektish, going to Chulin, and without pigeon. Okay, but it's a Gzeira de Rabbanan, and meaning Be'etzim Be'ikar Adin, it does not really belong to Hektish. Okay, now, right, Tosus over here. I'll raise it quickly, but I don't want to belabor the point. Although it's an important point, Tosus over here wonders if this price is going like Rabbi Shmuel. Because again, he and Rashi are both of the position. This price is going like Rabbi Shmuel. Why doesn't it belong to Hekdesh? Meaning, does the Nizak own the animal? No. The animal only has what's called a Shibud. Okay, what do we know regarding Shibudim? Shibudim obviously are strong. When I have a lien on an item, right, what's going to break that lien? There are a couple of lien breakers, right? We've gone over this point numerous times in the past. Okay, one, there are only a few things that break liens. If I remember correctly, the list is three in total. But one of the things that breaks the lien is Hekdesh. Hekdesh, Shichur, okay, and number three, Chametz on Pesach. But anyway, but Hekdesh is a lien breaker. So Tosfos is bothered then that if being Makdish something is a lien breaker, so why doesn't it break the lien over here? Okay, see Tosfos over here for that discussion. Tosfos, Dibra Maskal Mishum. Okay, anyway, but we're going to go on. Shecht, so if I shecht or if I gift it, what's done is done. Bisham asur. So the Gemara says, now here's the part I'm not following, and that is that giving it as a gift, I understand, because in other words, again, the mazik is giving this animal as a gift. It's a short time that did damage, and he's giving it as a gift. It doesn't mean that the gift is going to be a permanent gift. It just simply means that in the interim, the person who collected this as a gift can use the animal for plowing. But what's going to end up happening is that the Nizak is going to come and collect the animal. Ridja, I get that. The Gemara says, so the Gemara says, but let's say the animal was shechted. So the animal was shechted. What did the Braisa say? What's done is done. What do you mean what's done is done? The Mazik's animal that did damage, it's a short time. Collection is coming from the animal. The mazik now shechts the animal. Here, let me share with you what the next step is going to look like. What the next step is going to look like is that the nizik is going to come and say, okay, give me my animal. In other words, the price is like Rabbi Shmuel. But it's, in other words, give me your animal that's meshubah to my obligation. Okay, good. Now, we said it well. But now, the mazik said, oh, but I shechted it. So the nizik is going to say, okay, first of all, I didn't appreciate that. And secondly, and more importantly, it still belongs to me. In other words, it's still an asset. In other words, I'm still going to be able to collect it as an asset. So to me. Ditanya, and the Gemara says, and this is a, and the Braisa tells us, Ein li alachai shachta minayan, meaning the Torah's description of umachru es hashor hachai. And you're going to be selling the live animal. Sounds like the din of short time is only when the animal is alive. But the Braisa says, but that's not true, even if the animal's dead. Because the Gemara's drasha is umachros ashur, you're selling the shore regardless of what the state the shore is in, whether the shore is alive or whether it's dead. So it comes out now that even if the mazik shechted the animal, so what? In other words, it's still an asset and still collectible by the nizak. So the Gemara says is that what we need it for is pchashchita, and that is depreciation. And that means to say is that now that the animal was shechted, and now it went down in value, so what you're going to do is you're going to take the animal as is, meaning despite the fact now that it's obviously been reduced in value, so as far as the Nizak is concerned, he can only take its value as presently constituted, despite the fact that it diminished in value. Now, Amar Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Zosamar. So now we get to a really interesting discussion. And that is that I have an item that is serving as a security towards an obligation. It represents a shibud. And now somebody comes along and damages that shibud. Okay? Is he going to be at all financially liable? Okay. And the answer is uncomfortably, exactly like Yossi said, uncomfortably the answer is no. Okay. Now that's weird. In other words, you break it, you pay for it, right? The summary of Baba Kama in a sentence. And over here, so when I do damage, normally I have to pay. But if I'm not damaging a person's property, but only something that serving as security, doesn't make you a good person, right? Again, like in other words, the Musar section of Baba Kama, in other words, you're not a good person. You are a good person. You made a really poor choice. But in other words, that's not good. And right, should they be honoring you at the shul dinner? Probably not. Okay, but again, that's the one action is not going to describe the sum total of an entire person. But anyway, I digress. It's not good, but we're learning Baba Kama right now. This is a Choshe Mishpat discussion. Are you financially liable? And the answer is going to be no. No. No, because you didn't damage somebody's property. You damaged something that's only serving as a shibud. You're not going to be liable. So the Gemara says, good. And let's spend a minute, more than a minute, discussing this point. So Amar Rav Huna Bar Eder, Rav Yeshua Zosa Meres, Mazik Shibudu Shachaver Potor. So Rav Huna Bar Eder, Rav Yeshua says, do you know what we just learned together? We just learned together that when you damage somebody's shibud, so you're not liable. So Pshita, the Gemara says, okay, that's obvious. Now, of the things that the Gemara says that's obvious to, this is amazing. Like, in other words, right? Right. Okay, fine. So, right. So Ben's pointing out, and I'm in perfect agreement. In other words, this falls under the category of Grama. In other words, okay, again, from a Choshe Mishpat standpoint, in other words, your liability is only when you directly damage somebody's property. Over here, it's indirect damage. Right. Agreement. So the Gemara says, well, in the case of shechting the animal, again, where the animal is only serving as a shibud, so over there, like, what did I really do? Now, it's kind of funny, by the way, because I think there's a really big difference between an animal that's alive and an animal that's dead. Okay, so to the Gemara is like, you just took the wind out of the animal. You took more. That's a lot. But the Gemara's point is that relatively speaking, it's not like I could see other damages being much more serious. In other words, if all I had was this to work with, where the animal is serving as a shibud and the animal was alive and you shechted it, that's minimal damage. Again, I know you could push back on that point, but I'm obviously explaining the Gemara, and that's exactly what the Gemara says. That's minimal damage. But I don't know, maybe in other areas where I'm damaging somebody's shibud with like bona fide damage, like real damage, so then maybe I would be chayiv. So that's why it's important that Rav Huna Bar Eder, Rav Yeshua says zosomeris, meaning, no, this is an ironclad rule that if you're damaging just shibud and not somebody's actual property, you're potter. Hanami Rabba Amra, the Gemara says, okay, but I'm going to go to a statement that Rabba says. And it doesn't Rabba make the point, what did Rabba say? Dami Rabba, Asar Shavar Sosha Chaver Putter. So let's say somebody's got notes, IOUs, and allowing them to collect debt. And what do? You go ahead and you burn the note. Right? So you take somebody's check and you burn the check. Okay, so now, what did I damage? In other words, the check is only just a raya that you're going to be able to collect your money. It's not the actual asset itself. It just represents your ability to collect an asset. And if I destroy it, so am I chayiv? No. Rabbi says you're potter. So over there, again, effectively it's the same thing. In other words, so I'm not damaging property. I'm just damaging something that allows for the collection of an asset. So ma'u detema hasam hu damarlei nira ba'ama kalai minach avahecha dechafar bar bar sheikh namaros lechayiv kamash malan. So the Gemara says, again, if all I had was Rabba, again, what I would have done is I would have been very conservative, obviously lowercase c. So I would have been very conservative and I would have said, look, what did I do? I burnt paper. That's all I did. It's a piece of paper. Okay, what do you want me to do? You want me to replace it with another piece of paper? Good, I'll give you another piece of paper. So, but there, once again, the damage is nominal. It's a minimal amount of damage. But let's say there was real estate that went to secure the property. And what did I do? I dug holes in that property. Literally dug holes in the property. And the property was there serving as a shibud towards a obligation. So now do I have to pay the person who owns that lien? The answer is no. The answer is no. In other words, we're saying it definitively. And even though the examples of Rabba, and even our example of shechting an animal, so they are damages, but damages lowercase d, which I know is funny, but the Gemara is saying, that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. Little damages. But what if I do like major damage to somebody's shibud? I'm not chayiv. Okay, good. Okay, that ends our discussion. Okay, it got laid early. That ends our discussion. It's my fault, but it's fine. That ends our discussion regarding somebody damages somebody's shibud. So again, the uncomfortable conclusion of the Gemara. It's not uncomfortable. I mean, it's a conclusion, but in other words, but really, just it's the person's not doing good. But yet, from a choshen mishpat standpoint, he's pater, and the patur is coming as a result of Ben said it perfectly. It's really grama. In other words, I didn't do direct damage to somebody's property. What I did, however, is that indirectly causing a loss. But okay, but indirect cause of loss, choshen mishpat standpoint, you are not chayef.
You just scammed them.
Yeah, good, right. But it's correct. Okay, you're right. But in other words, if the scam it means that you're directly taking the person's money, that's nezek. Okay, so but I understand your sentiment.
If I come and I take the air out of your tires in a car, I'm not causing any damage.
Okay, it's a good question. I don't know. I hear. Okay, good. I don't know. So now we're back to the Braisa, and we're still now wrapping our head around the Braisa. So again, the Braisa is going according to Rabbi Shmuel, right? That's Rashi, that's Tosos, right? It's and so now what happens if other creditors come? Again, the Braisa is talking about the first half of the Braisa is where your short term does damage, and now the Nizek wants to collect from the animal. But before the Nizek got to be able to collect from the animal, so the Mazik also had creditors, and the creditors came and collected the animal. So now, and we're at the section of the Braisa that's talking about before Hamad Bedin. So Kidma Balechovas Vihigbiu, Bein Chav Ashalo Hizik, Bein Hizik Ashalo Chav, Lo Asav Lo Klom. So creditors can, Lefisha Ein Mashalim Ela Megufo. Okay. So so when creditors come and collect, so their collection is non-collections. Why? Because this is a short time that did damage, and payment is coming mi gufo. Good. So the Gemara says, Bishlama hizik ashlo chav, and nizakim kadmo, avachav ashlo hizik, bachov kadem. So the Gemara says, wow, do I really not understand that? Meaning, if the creditors there were there before the nezek, they're first in line. And the nizak is nothing more than a lien holder. Oh, but he's a second lien holder. And if the creditor was there first, he's a first lien holder. So what are you doing? You're allowing the second lien holder to come and take before the first lien holder. V'afilu hizik ashlo chav ba'chov kadim shma mina ba'chov meucha shekadim v'gava mashegava lo gava. And the Gemara says, and let's even go with where the creditor is number two. So the creditor is number two. So ba'chov meucha shekadim v'gava mashegava lo gava. We had this discussion back in Gittin, and that is, let's say you're the second lien holder. Now, that means that if everyone were to be waiting in line, right, taking their turn, so he's number two, not number one. But what if number two went ahead and got aggressive? And he jumped the line and he grabbed first. So we had this discussion back in Gittin. And if you remember, right, so it is a long time ago. But if you remember, debatable whether or not it works or it doesn't work. So over here, you're now telling me that it's not going to work, meaning this is a debated issue. So the Gemara says, "Lo la meim lechama shegava gava v'shani asam de amrle ilu gabachava lo minachava gavile daitura de askamine mishlamana." So the Gemara says, "Okay, over here, however, the this is going to be different. Why? Because over here, in other words, first lien holder, second lien holder, that discussion is not relevant to our discussion over here. Why? Because this is a short tam, and a short tam has a unique and special shibud." Right, even according to Rabbi Yishmael, who says that it's a shibud, but it's not just any shibud; it's a specific shibud, an apotiki shibud. So that means to say that the animal, regardless of where the animal is meshubud towards the nizak. So over here, despite the fact that in terms of regular shibud discussion and regular lien holders, number one, number two, and what if number two jumps the gun, and what then becomes the din? All that is important, but not relevant to our discussion. Because we're talking about the short time. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay. Let us, in the very least, get to the Mishnah today. I know that'll put us a little bit behind, but that's fine. Hopefully we'll go past that. We'll get past that. Okay. We have now went through our second Braisa of the morning, explicated the second Braisa of the morning regarding short time that does damage. And what can the Mazik do with the animal after the damage was done? Can he sell it? Can he be makdish it? What if creditors come and took it? Okay, the v'chule v'chule. And even according to Rabbi Ishmael, the point that we just highlighted for the last 15 minutes, who says that the animal is only serving as a shibud, still nevertheless, even though it's a shibud, it's a unique shibud, it's a special shibud, an apotiki shibud, obviously making it really strong. And then we had to go back to the Brisa and understand, well, when the Brisa says that the sale is valid, like, how do you understand that? Good. And we went and we explicated every part of the Brisa. Well, let's do more. Tanu Rabbanan, Shor Shava Masayim, Shinaga Shor Shava Masayim. V'chavabo b'chamishim zuz. Okay. So here now in this Brisa, so we're gonna operate with numbers. A little bit of number crunching. And for the remainder of today's daf, I don't think we're going to get to the second half today. We're going to do a lot of number crunching. So over here, let's say the animal that did damage is 200. The animal that was damaged started off at original at an evaluation of 200. And the amount of damage was 50 zuz. Okay, now, shavach. V'amad al arba meyo zuz. Now, what then happens is that the animal now, when I say the animal, by the way, there are two animals that we're describing. So over here, we're talking about the shur hanizak, the one that was damaged. V'amad al arba meyo zuz. So the and it jumped up in value to 400 zuz. Oh. So in other words, at the time of Nezek, it was valued at 200. And then post-Nezek, talk about a resilient animal. Post-Nezek now, it jumped from 200 up to 400. So now the Mazik is going to make the following argument. And that is that, what loss is there? In other words, I did 50 of damage, but wait one second. But your animal was at 200, now appreciated to 400. I don't have to pay you anything. So il male iziko hayo min el shmona meo zuz. No sinke shas a nezek. Because what the nizak could say is you have no opportunity to speculate whatsoever. Meaning, if you could see that my animal is resilient. Imagine had it not been damaged. In other words, it would have gone up, instead of going up to 400, it would have gone up to 800. So you want to speculate? I can also speculate. So in other words, so basically, all we're going to do is go back to Shas HaNezek. Shas HaNezek, my animal was 200. You now went down 50 zuz. Okay, good. So that's how much you're going to owe me. Now, mind you, by the way, this is a short time. So the amount that actually is owed is going to be 25. Half the Nezek. But that's not the point. The point is that everything is going to be Shas HaNezek. Anything that happens afterwards is going to be speculation, and we ignore that. Now, kichesh, kishas hamad bedin. Okay, now, let's say the animal depreciates in value, so now we're going to go to hamad bedin. The Gemara is going to clarify that point, meaning that the animal that was at 200 now is, after the damage was depreciated down to 100, so now we're going to look at the time of hamad bedin. And now by Hamad Abedin, it's now only valued at 100. We have to take that into consideration. Stay tuned. We're going to clarify that point. Now, Shavach Mazik. Now, let's do the same thing as well. Again, 200, 200. Mazik's animal at the time of damage was 200. Nizak's animal at the time of damage was 200. Does damage. And then post-Nezek, the Mazik's animal appreciates in value. So Shavach Mazik, no sin lo, kishas ha-Nezek. So now what we're going to do is that we're going to go back to the time of Nezek. However, if it goes down in value, so we're going to go to Hamad Abedin. Okay. All this needs clarification. The Gemara is going to do so right now. Amar. So, Shavach Mazik, Nosin Kishas HaNezek. So, if let's say the Mazik's animal goes up in value, so Shaman Kishas HaNezek, we go back to the point of Nezek. So, money, Rabbi Shmuel, Hidam, Rabbal Chavu, Vizuzuhu, Damasik, Lei. That certainly sounds like Rabbi Shmuel, right? Absolutely. Because according to Rabbi Shmuel, what is the animal? Animal is only representing the security of payment. In other words, the Nizak doesn't own the animal. So the Mazik's animal inflated in price after the Nezik is done. Okay, but that is only going to be enjoyed by the Mazik, not the Nizak. Great, good. That's Rabbi Shmuel. But then Amos Seifa, but then we go to the second half of the Braisa, and that is Kichesh. So Kishas Hamad Bedin. If the Mazik's animal goes down in value, so now we're going to look at the Hamad Bedin price. So the Hamad Bedin price, also a Rabbi Akiva. Wait one second. That is clearly a Rabbi Akiva position. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, who is the owner of the animal? The Nizak becomes the owner of the animal. I goes down in value. Well, that's unfortunate for the Nizak. In other words, that's an asset of his now that went down in price. Okay? So, but wait one second. In other words, when it appreciates in value, the Brisa was sounding like Rabbi Shmuel. When it goes down in value, the Brisa sounding like Rabbi Akiva. That's obviously inconsistent. I'm sorry. The Asal Rabbi Akiva, Damar Shutfei Ninu. So Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, say for Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara says, now come on. In other words, pick a position. Meaning the Brisa is not telling us who the halacha follows. Like, but what the Brisa should do is be consistent in terms of which viewpoint it's going to follow. So the Gemara says, well, Kula Rabbi Akiva he. So the Gemara says that the Brisa in its entirety is going like Rabbi Akiva. Now, if the Brisa is going like Rabbi Akiva, so I certainly understand how it is that if the animal goes down in value, so now the Nizak is going to be suffering that loss because the Nizak now has become the de facto owner of the animal. So it's an asset of the Nizak that just went down in value. Okay, that's called life, right? Your asset went down in value. Okay, that's all right. So the but hachem ma'iskinan So but what the brisa now what the gemara now has to do is explain the first part of the brisa where the animal appreciated in value, and what did the gemara say? What did the brisa say that if it appreciates in value, that appreciation is going to be owned entirely by the mazik? Wait one second. If the author of the brisa is Rabbi Akiva, then Nizak is the owner of the animal. If it appreciates, well, if he's going to be after suffering the loss, isn't he going to be able to also enjoy the appreciated value? So the gemara says kishapitmo. So the Gemara says is that what the Mazik did is that the Mazik invested in the animal, and he, because of his investment, appreciated the animal in its value. Now, from a financial standpoint, by the way, correct. Okay, you beat me to the point, but you and I are thinking the same. Meaning, from the Mazik standpoint, by the way, what in the world is incentivizing him to do that? It is honestly a really strange move on his part. Meaning that the short time, according to Rabbi Akiva, now, after Nezek is done, at the point of Nezek, not after, at the point of Nezek, there is now a transfer of ownership. And now the Mazik's like, now is a great time to invest in the animal. Why? it's not your animal anymore.
Thing is,
okay, right, correct. So, okay, anyway. So, Ikishapit Moim Aresha. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'm not here to explain to you what the incentive is, but the reason why he can go ahead and now help himself to that appreciated value is because he's the one who invested in order to create that appreciated value. So the Gemara says, Ikishapit Moim Aresha. So the Gemara says, okay, so if that's true, so then let's go back to the Resha of the Brisa. And that is Shavach, meaning the Resha of the Brisa was talking about appreciation and depreciation of the animal of the Nizak. Again, it started off at 200. And the Brisa went over what happened if it appreciated, what happened depreciated. And we're now suggesting that the entire Brisa is going like Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, so, Shavach Vamana, and we are also saying that appreciation was done how? Because it was fattened. So, Amadar Meozuz no sin lo kishas anezek. So, I kishapit mo tzricha lememar. So, if it went up in value, so now the, so we're going to go back to the time of Nezek, meaning that the appreciated value is not at all taken into consideration. Now, if we're talking about where the Nizak fattened the animal, pshita. Meaning, of course, we're not going to take that into consideration. Meaning, the fact that it went up in value after Nezek was done is because I invested in the animal. So, of course, that's not going to be taken into account in terms of damages. So, the Gemara says, Amara Papa Resha, Mishkachala Bein Depatma Petume Bein Deshavcha Mimela. Vesterich Lashmuna Dech Deshavcha Mimela, Nosan Lakishas and Nezek. So, the Gemara just simply clarifies. Excellent point, excellent clarification. That in the Resha, it doesn't matter how it appreciated. Whether the Nizak invested, whether it just simply, boom, just went up in price. Sometimes that happens. But Seifa, lo mishkach lela b'kisha pitmo. But as far as the Seifa is concerned, in other words, where the Mazik's animal appreciated in value, and what did the Brisa say? The Nizak doesn't get to enjoy that appreciation. That is only in the case where the Mazik actually invested his own money in appreciating its value. Okay. Kichesh kishas hamada bedin. In the Brisa says that if it goes down in value, it's kishas hamada bedin. Now we're going to say that now is going to be assessed based on when we go to court. Now kichesh machmas mai. Now why did it go down in value? Ilem etikachash machmas malacha. So let's say that what the what the Nizak did is he worked the animal, and he worked the animal really hard. So and therefore it went down in value. So the Gemara says, Leimaleyad Makashe Vani Yahivna. So they start to wish now the Masa can legitimately tell the Nizak, wait 1 second. In other words, the Nezik is done. And now we're going to go to court for assessment. And now you worked it to the bone, not literally, but in other words, but you worked it so hard now that it went down in value, and now I have to absorb that? Come on. So I'm Rav Ashi Kichash Machmas Maka. I'm Rale Karna Deturach Kavirabe. So over here, what we're talking about is that it depreciated in value because it was hit. In other words, because of the injury that was sustained, so now it actually went down in value. Where there, the Niza can now say to the Mazik, legitimately, Karna Deturech, literally, the horn of your animal, Kavirabe, is basically stuck into my animal. Meaning that this depreciated value is a function of the fact of the damage. And therefore, yeah, in other words, you're going to have to now absorb, you, the Mazik, are going to have to absorb that extra damage because the damage that was done brought us to the point where my animal is even further reduced in value. Okay, Adkan, we're going to stop over here even though we're behind, but tomorrow, God willing, we'll look to catch up. Tomorrow's daf is, in fact, shorter. A bit of number crunching in the beginning of tomorrow's daf. Get ready for that. Okay, I apologize that the Zoom was off today, but I'll upload immediately. Anyway, let's quickly recap our day today. Okay, we basically went over again as we did yesterday. Very basic machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva that when a short time does damage and now you're collecting migufo. So how is that to be explained? According to Rabbi Shmuel, the animal is serving as security towards the obligation. It's not just a general security; it's not a general lien, but an apotiki, meaning it is a specified security, but the Nizak does not own the animal. It's not a transfer of ownership, but that is securing the obligation. That is Lafi Rabbi Shmuel. And according to Rabbi Akiva, an amazing thing occurs, and that is an immediate transfer of ownership. The animal moves in ownership from the Mazik over to the Nizak. Obviously, I say transfer of ownership, obviously relative to the amount. In other words, the amount of damage that's done, the amount that the Mazik animal has been evaluated. In other words, he could own up to 100% of the animal, right? What if the damage exceeds the value of the animal? Well, in other words, it's a short time. In other words, the damage is capped. But you could end up owning, you, the Niza, could end up owning the entire animal. And what we did over the course of this morning is we played out. How would the world look like according to Rabbi Kiva? And how would the world look like according to Rabbi Shmuel? Vis-a-vis, what happens when the Mazik sells? What happens if the Mazik gifts? Or is Makdish? What if we have other creditors? What if they come and they collect? V'chule, v'chule. What if the values of the animal went up and went down after the Nezek, before Hamad the Bedin? So we played out all these roles, all these like mental exercises to see what it would look like according to Rabbi Kiva, according to Rabbi Shmuel.